Well, welcome back once again. Paul Harmon here. Thank you for joining us. What an exciting Sunday we already are having. I'm glad that you're here watching and participating online. Once again, we do have our 10 a.m. in-person service here. We call it the Hub, Hope United Backlot. We look forward to you coming if distance permits you to come. And the comfort zone with which you feel comfortable, we do everything we possibly can to make people feel right at home and safe with proper sanitation, social distancing, and naturally, we do require masks when people here are in person. But we do have the Word of God, and as you saw in the video clip, Jesus is our victory. Jesus is our victory. We're so thrilled that this year, regardless, we are believing and anticipating the victory. So even before we begin, I want to first start off in just announcing our annual theme for Hope Chapel is Already Won, W-O-N, Already Won. That's what we are declaring because Romans chapter 8, verse 37 declares that. Let me read that with you just for a moment here. This is our annual theme verse for this year, 2021. It says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors, not just winners, more than. We are conquerors. That's why our theme, Already Won in 2021. And matter of fact, he who loved us, we just know that the scripture so well defines God's love for you. And especially in Romans 5, 8, you remember that. God demonstrated his own love toward us and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he didn't say, I love you. He did something about it. So that's our theme this year. That's the direction of our theme series on these preceding Sundays. So as we begin about to announce the message today, let's pray. Father, thank you. We submit Hope Chapel's theme to you. We are declaring regardless of where we're at, who we are, and what we might even be facing in 2021, that we are already winners, already won because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross and the power of the resurrection. Lord, open our hearts now. Let us see some breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm glad you have your Bibles. Please consider taking notes, jotting down those things, maybe even posting some of those things that you just realized, man, God gave me a word or a reminder or a breakthrough today. There's so many people who have been praying for you today. And so I'm glad that you're with us. Today's message is entitled Already Won. That's our theme, but how? We're turning a setback into a comeback. Turning a setback into a comeback. And we take a look. Let me just pause for a moment because I'm having even my young audience say, Pastor Paul, do you have a joke for me? Do you have a joke? I'm just going to throw it on out there real quick. Here it is, especially for you who say one of my New Year resolution is a little less eating. Here's the joke. Make sure every time you go to the refrigerator, you knock first. Why? Because there could be salad dressing. That's it. Let's proceed with our message today. And once again, turning a setback into a comeback. Probably one of the great comeback stories happened in 2019. It is a tremendous comeback, especially in the golf world. It was a person, Tiger Woods. Many are aware of Tiger Woods, the most dominating golfer in our lifetime. And it was in 2008 was the last time he ever won a major, really, tournament competition. But because of poor choices and reckless lifestyle, physical injuries, many people said he'll never return to that dominating kind of play. But it was in 2019 he won the Masters, and people were shocked. It took 11 years, but a setback became a comeback for him. And we like comebacks, do we not? Because we can all relate to comebacks. All of us have had comebacks one or another. It's relatable because Comebacks really are beautiful, but setbacks come in all shapes and sizes. It could happen because a person has lost a job, maybe lost in a marriage, maybe areas of declaring bankruptcy, maybe possibility of just loss of relationships, friendships, overcoming addictions, maybe destructive behaviors. All of these setbacks really cause problems for an individual. Many individuals are just dealing with physical setbacks, sicknesses, poor health. But I'm confident that our theme and God's heart's desire for you is to turn that setback into a comeback. God is so gracious that way, and how we respond to our setbacks will determine how that comeback comes around. And Jesus is the one that has done it all for us because of the power of the cross and resurrection. We want to remind ourselves it is in Him. We are more than conquerors through Him who loves you, and we want to declare that today. Now, some of you have really kind of thrown yourself right out of the ball game. It's like, it's over. My setback is undone. Everything I have ever wanted. Come on back. Come on back. Let's see what we can do today to see God renew your heart of anticipation. I love reading the Word of God. It's loaded with encouraging stories of people who have had setbacks. Some of them unbeknownst or maybe beyond their own control. Others, because of poor choices, they've had setbacks. That's the beauty of the Scriptures. Remember Joseph in the book of Genesis? Man, sold into slavery by his brothers. How about David? Here he committed adultery and murder and just caused a tremendous ripple effect, not only in his own family, but as well in the nation he was governing. How about Paul and Silas? Them, they were arrested, they were beaten, thrown in jail, and they started witnessing about Christ even in the midst of that. How about Peter? Want to just highlight Peter because his pre-cross experience with Jesus, his undying love for Christ, he said, I will never deny you. I will even die for you. But then he denies him three times. Hey, I want to look at a passage here and use that example as a setback that turns into a comeback. I'm in John chapter 21. Would you find in your Bible John 21, just two verses, verse 14 and verse 15. This is the third appearance of Jesus after his resurrection. And he finds Peter and he's now talking to him specifically. And he says such terms of endearment to this man who denied him. Can you imagine? Check it out with me. Here we go. Verse 14, John chapter 21. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. You are familiar with that passage. Jesus asked him that question three times. Do you love me? I think it's a wonderful way of the heart of Almighty God. Isn't it amazing? Here, Peter could have just really been very fearful of the Lord. And Jesus is not like typical mankind. Can you imagine? It could have been very easy for Jesus to come back and say, hey, Pete, I just resurrected to tell you thanks a lot. You and you macho disciples forsook me while I was on the cross. And I just said, hey, thanks a lot, bro. But he didn't even bring that up. Jesus just said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know. And matter of fact, Peter knows, Jesus knows all things because he was the one that says, I'm going to guarantee before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So when Jesus comes, the Lord just asks him, do you love me? Now, there's something about God that he knows if we love him, though we're riddled with failure and mistakes and certainly setbacks, that we will be okay if we love him. I want to ask you, remember that. That's one of the great commands, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your body, with all your strength, all your soul. It's important when we take a look at that. So when we consider this comeback from these circumstances, it's important for us, once again, principles to follow. we want to look at now. Because if you've had a major setback in your life, our theme already won. We want to say, okay, where do we go from there? Because you remember last Sunday, if you were with us, we were hitting the reset button, how to turn really your 2021 into a much better year. Please consider going back there and look at last Sunday's message and see about that on YouTube. You can see it under Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. But let's consider right now some principles. Number one, let's begin a little bit. Let's press in. If we are going to turn our setbacks into really once again now an amazing comeback, reject a victim's mentality. Reject a victim's mentality. Comebacks will be impossible for you and me if you say, well, my life is over because of what this has happened or how this person has treated me. Never let that. You are denying the responsibility you and I might would have to make a choice to say, man, I'm going with God. He has an element of victory in my life. Let's take a look here. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 4 and 5. Can you see that with me about our responsibility? But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Each one will take responsibility. I sure like what the Message Bible says, the same verse. I want to display that up on your screen here. For it says Galatians 6, 4 and 5 in the Message Bible, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Wow, that's right out there. That is purposeful. It is our responsibility. Reject a victim's mentality. Letter A, let's take a look. Stop giving people or circumstances so much power over your life. We've had a setback. We've all had it. I remember when my children were in junior high and high school, they'd come home saying, I am so mad. I'm going to quit this program. I'm going to stop participating. I don't like going to church. We'd pull them together and say, don't let that person or that group of people control your life. God has a plan for your life, and it's not the way they are seeing it or you think they are portraying upon your life. Victims are prisoners. They really are. They put themselves in prison and bondage. Victims blame others and say, because they don't like me, because they won't accept me, therefore, my life is over. Don't do that for yourself and to yourself. Be careful, because remember, because of Jesus, you've already won. Watch how, as you stand in faith, you'll see the victory. It's so true. Yes, you can go ahead and say your marriage has fallen apart. Yes, your business has had to close down. Yes, you fail and probably had to file for bankruptcy. Yes, that person's drowning in debt. Yes, you have people who are close to you who have betrayed you. You're hurt and abandoned. These things are true, but please be careful. Please be careful. Letter B, take responsibility for your life. Now, people are going to do things. That's just the brokenness of our world. But take responsibility for your life. We're going to turn this setback into a comeback. It's going to be important. Jesus has a real plan for your life. You and I have known that. Many of you have just drafted letters or sent responses to me and said, I have sat down for those 3 hours and asked God, what's the responsibility with certain roles in my life? I've got direction. I'm so glad. Make sure no person, no circumstances is going to rip you off of God's future for your life. Be careful about that. God has an ordained destiny for you. Take a look at that, because there's a power in choice. I want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. We spent a little time in that even last week, but check it out with me. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 simply says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Take a look at that. God says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Check out the heart of God. Therefore, in case you're confused, choose life. Are we going to choose what Jesus has for us? Or are we going to choose what people have done to us? Or are we going to choose what the circumstances have dictated to us? All of those things, placing setbacks, except Jesus, who has a destiny for you. It's so important. Therefore, choose life. The power of choice is so significant. How many of you know when God says, therefore, choose life, he's saying, just in case somebody doesn't know which direction to take. How many remember, let's make a deal, old game program that was on for many, many years, and basically the contestants would dress up, they'd call you down, Mitch, come on down, and then you'd have to kind of like guess on a product price. But they'd always have door number one, door number two, door number three. Remember those? Can you imagine if we were to play that out? And here's Mitch, door one, door two, door three. Which one do you want, Mitch? Why? I don't know one. The crowd is screaming, two, no, three, no, one. And finally he says, I pick door number three. Okay, Mitch, before we show you what door three says, let's show you what you did get. Door number one, go ahead and open it up. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a year's trip to Tahiti, a beautiful all-expense trip. Door number two, let's see. Oh, no, I can't believe it. It's a beautiful Tesla 2021. Oh, Mitch, oh, no, that means door number three is going to be raunchy. Show him what he's got. Door number three, a year's supply of dog food. Ugh. Now, can you imagine if the contestant was to be able to see what's behind the curtains? Door number one, pulled back. Oh, there it is, all expense trip to Tahiti. Door number two, a beautiful Tesla. Door number three, year supply of dog food. And now he gets to pick. And then that person says, oh, I don't know which one to pick. Can you imagine when God says choose life, but here's the contestant, people are saying choose the trip, choose the car. And finally says, I don't know which one to pick. I'm going to pick the dog food. Oh, my goodness. That's kind of what God is saying. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. In case you get confused, let me pull it all back and help you choose life. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. God wants you to win this year. God wants you to come out of those setbacks and be whole and be healthy. Number two, take a look at this. Acknowledge your part in the setback. That's important. Acknowledge your part. Now, I understand there's going to be some painful times when we say, okay, I did participate in some wrong choices. The Bible's very real. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, you may want to write it down. It says, don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And that's a farmer's turn. As you know, if you sow seed one season, you don't get it that season, you got to wait another season, it's going to come back and to a harvest of whatever you plant. So it's important for us. But it's, when we take a look at that, what was that pattern, that a sinful, really, choice that may have constituted the setback? So significant, because all of us have choices, remember. Letter A, take a look. Acknowledge the wrong behavior that caused the setback. Whatever that behavior was, so important. Now, King David, remember that? The great example of this? David's behavior, man, was so poor, caused all kinds of negative consequences when he committed adultery and murdered that same woman's husband. Can you imagine? You could read about the story in 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Here, how could he commit adultery when he had so many wives? Most feel in that setting, that really showed that David probably had a lust problem. Can you imagine how unchecked patterns like that? And then he sees somebody else's wife. But the consequences were severe. And David wrote Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. I want to read that. We're talking about just acknowledging our part in this setback. But look what David says in Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Boy, the Lord is so kind when we just say, oh Lord, mercy, mercy. He does forgive. Check out what he says in Psalm 51, verse 1. Same scenario. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me against you. You alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. You'll never be able to experience a comeback if we never see our part in the setback. That's so important. That's many times people just say, that's where I'm going to confess and turn my life around. You know, the 12-step program has step number 4, which literally says, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. That's an important thing. Where did I apply the mistakes that caused my life to be in such a setback? Did you, in your selfishness or pride, destroy your marriage? Was it you in the setup of your job? Did you fear your fear or insecurities cause the relationships around you to dissolve? Was it maybe a critical spirit, a negative attitude, possibly a destructive behavior? Maybe your mean Facebook posts? Maybe you just ignored the needs around you, needs of others, to where eventually everything unraveled. Those are important things. What is the inventory that we need to take? We want a comeback. We want a comeback, oh God. You're saying we're going to be victors. We're winners because of what you have done. What do I need to do in order to experience that for my life? This is where we own our stuff. We own our stuff. So important. So important. I know many of us are just experiencing a boatload of guilt or shame. Sometimes that's why people don't venture back into community or fellowship. Somewhere along the line, we start to feel like, man, their life's put together. What's wrong with me that it's not happening for me? Let's take a look at letter B. Acknowledge the wrong behavior in response to the setback. We're talking response now. Setback had nothing to do with you. You really are a victim here, but it was your response that caused you to continue to be entrapped. Maybe becoming a victim, now your eyes are off of Jesus and always looking at the dreadful experience that that person or that circumstance has put you in. And now you're bitter or resentful, feeling hopeless, faithless. And we often find sarcasm or criticism or cynical attitudes surface. This is where we own our own stuff too. This is where we, oh man, I know that it's that person's fault for where I'm at, but my response continues to relive over and over again, and we're emotionally, we are stuck. I sure like this story in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. You can write that down and read it, but Paul and Silas, here they are in the Philippian jail. They've just been just wrongly accused, arrested, beaten, and put in jail, and they are singing praises. They are praying, and then a miracle opens up, and God intervenes, and an earthquake opens the door, and man, cool things happening. But I would have been wondering what's going on in that situation, because just that same chapter, in chapter 16 of Acts, verse 9, Paul the Apostle has this vision of a Macedonian man, says, please come help us. I would have been, if I was Silas, saying, are you sure that vision was really from God? Come on. Maybe you or I ate something that gave you some wrong dreams going on. Because of look what we are facing right now. What a setback. But they were singing. And God visited with a tremendous miracle. Boy, there's times, and it's right now, time for you to be set free. Let's take a look at number three, surrender to God's sovereign purposes. That's important. Let's dive into that. Surrender to God's sovereign purpose, because really ourselves bringing back into alignment of God's will and God's plan, I'm finding there are a lot of people that still want to hang on to their own plan, their own will. It's kind of like they're living two lives. They're living with two masters. They themselves want to still maintain a control, but yet God says, I want to have you experience my purpose. That's why the point is surrender to God's sovereign purpose. It means we literally need to surrender. Check it out here, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. It says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. So when we look here, letter A, surrender to God's specific plan for your future. Many of you have followed along from last Sunday. You laid out some what you felt God was speaking to your heart in your quiet time, listening to his voice. Remember how the Lord says in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice. Now it's important. God laid some things out. Surrender to God's specific plan. I like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let me read that to you. You can see it as well. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow, that's amazing. God has a future for you to experience. That's so important. How will I experience? Surrender. Lord, I know what I want. You know what I want. But Lord, I'm willing and desperately wanting to hear, what is it exactly that you have for me? Reminding sometimes it was, we need to remember when we had our own self in control. Remember, painfully remind ourselves, it was our original decision to go it alone that caused the setback. That's why, Lord, what is it now that you have for me? How is it? Some of us are still driving the bus, aren't we? We just need to say, Lord, I surrender my life. That's why Jesus says, listen, I got to tell everybody around here, you got to count the cost. You got to count the cost. You're going to be my disciple. You got to count the cost. It's important for us. Consider that as well. So no matter what, I have found so rewarding. I sleep better. It's like, Lord, I may not do everything right, but my heart is I want to do what matters most to you. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Letter B, surrender to God's specific plan, not just for your future, but for the present. It's so important for the present. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Surrendering to God's specific plan for your future. How many know sometimes things happen, as you know, it's beyond our control, or we just realize, oh, that's not the direction that I should be going. But God's building character in our life. He's enabling us to have endurance. There's something about being patient to watch something unfold before we enact something. So significant. I mean, for example, I would never give my car keys to my grandchildren. They really are in no place of responsibility to drive the vehicle. Why would I give the keys to them? What do I mean by that? Sometimes we want so much more from God, or so much more in our life from God, but the Lord knows we need development. We need maturity. He's willing to give it. It could be something you've seen and sensed God's going to do. I'm so glad. But be patient. Endure. Watch what God's going to do. There'll be a time that God will entrust you for more. And now, finally, number four, get back in the game following Jesus. Get back in the game following Jesus. I sure like Proverbs 24:16. For the righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. Seven times. You can't have a comeback if you quit playing the game. Get back into the game of life, the eternal life with Jesus. That's so important. You've already won in Jesus. Yet in all these things, Romans 8:37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror, not just a winner, more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I want to remind you of that. So important. Refines our life to realize, I'm going to go at this time with Jesus in my life. God wants to use your life more than you could ever imagine. And your setback becoming a comeback would be a great testimony. Let it become the testimony that you want to share. Who wouldn't want to share that great comeback of your life? I want to pray with you right now, and especially for you who just need to present your life and surrender your life to God. You know He exists. Everybody believes in God. At least most do. And you know, just to believe He exists does not mean a person's going to go to heaven. James 2:19 says that you believe in God, man, no big deal. Even the demons believe in God, and we know they're not going to go to heaven. But the surrender where we make not only Jesus our Savior, but our Lord, what He says goes. Would you pray with me right now? This prayer goes like this. Pray it out loud. If somebody's in the room, go ahead and model it by example and pray with me. It goes, Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Savior of the world. And today, Almighty God, I ask You, forgive me of all my sins, things I've done my own way. I come back to You today. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Wash me clean. Lead me in those paths that You have. I trust You, Jesus, for the life You have for me today, tomorrow, and eternally. Now, Almighty God, make me the kind of person You want me to be. Not what I want, but what You want. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm trusting that as you've prayed that prayer, would you tell someone today, dial them up and say, you know what, I really prayed that prayer and God really moved my heart. And I want to just see what He has for me. And would you help be my accountability partner? Let's serve the Lord together. I know you know somebody that has given their lives to Jesus. They are believers in Christ. They are Christians. And if you were to contact them and let them know that you prayed that prayer to receive Christ, believing He has washed you clean from your sins, setting the course for your life for a real comeback, wow, they would be so happy, and probably will pray a blessing over you. Let us know that as well. Send us an email, would you please, at office@hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Would you do that? We would love to hear from you. I'm going to pray off a blessing right now. Hope to see you soon. Thank you for coming. Matter of fact, as I pray, let's now believe for healing. Almighty God, as we conclude this message, we certainly don't conclude Your work of grace over our lives. We love You, Lord. And because of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, we can claim victory. And Lord, where there is pain and physical ailments, sickness or disease, we speak, be healed, dear one, in the name of Jesus. Would you just cup your hands right now and say, I accept the healing that is found in Jesus Christ alone. So Lord, we thank You. Pain be removed. Headaches be removed, body aches stop, any form of virus or sickness be gone in the name of Jesus. Depression leave, joy of the Lord come, and allow a peace that passes understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Look forward to being with you again next week. God bless you. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.